welcome to another episode of In-Game Chat for Friday, November 21st, 2008, the official podcast of ColonyofGamers.com. Jeremy in here with us tonight. We've also got Daniel and James and myself, Scott. Dana not here with us tonight, but we'll be back again on Monday for Monday's show. Anyway, again, the NXE is out. Jeremy, who was not with us from the last show, is now with us. And
missed out on the big American titties, unfortunately.
Yeah, he did.
Shame, it was a great interview. Good guy.
Yeah, but what did you think about the NXE? You've got it loaded up now. You've messed with it.
I had a few scary moments because I was having some internet connection problems.
Yeah.
And it failed to update only about an eighth of the way through the update. And when it aired out and went back to the dashboard, it was the new dashboard instead of the old one. I was like, oh my God, what does this mean? It didn't finish updating, but here I am at the new dashboard.
Yeah. Did you get half of it?
I don't know. I didn't get the crazy little intro that I finally got when I finished the update. But I logged out, logged back in, and it finished updating just fine. So I thought for a few minutes there I was going to have a horror story to come back with, but it was fine.
Some people have. Some people have had some horror stories to come back with. But overall, you're not hearing a major response of, you know, it broke my system.
Right.
From the update. There are a few, from what I understand, but not a big, nothing like what it was back when Live just kind of shat itself.
Yeah.
When they did the winter update last year. And then when they released
it's one thing for Live to shit itself, but this is actually presenting, like, different set of problems.
Yeah.
This is actually presenting problems on systems.
Yeah.
The UI or the OS, to whatever degree, the it's responsible, is actually causing problems. We had two more lockups last
week.
One more in Fallout, and one actually, Dana was talking to somebody, like, partied up and had a voice chat for a while, and just sitting in the interface had a lockup.
Really?
Yep. So, and then she, you know, played for three more hours without a problem. So, and I wasn't in there, and she's not terribly good at troubleshooting computer things.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but I know it was two more hard locks of the system. So,
wow.
And this is not what we had problems with previous updates. We had problems with the service.
Right.
Yeah.
And matchmaking and things like that. That seems to be working for the most part okay. But yeah, there are other issues. They obviously did a lot of messing around under the hood. So.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It's interesting. My problem that we had that I mentioned on the last show was that I couldn't delete World at War off the system. It kept giving me errors. I, you know, went home that night and no problem. I was able to get rid of it.
Hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't mean there's not a problem, though, because, like, if it gave you a bunch of shit when you tried to delete it once and then didn't give you shit before, it still gave you shit.
Yeah.
And that means it is still capable of giving you shit for trying to do some really simple disk maintenance stuff. So. Yeah.
Well, and I would have and a lot of people reported this problem, too, was that it would lock up on their friends list. I didn't even necessarily have a lock. It was static for about 30 or 45 seconds. Like, I would... First, when I went to my friends list, first off, I had about four parties going on. So it had to build those parties with those avatars.
You're saying there were four parties being displayed on your friends list.
Right, yeah. And so it had to build each party with avatars of people who probably weren't, most of them, who weren't on my friends list.
Yeah,
with the exception of one.
I don't know, man. They're all avatars built from the stupid but simple building blocks that already are on your 360.
True, yeah.
Like, if that's some sort of catastrophic problem, for it to, like, assemble them however they're assembled according to, like, an extremely limited set of variables. Like, I'm saying I don't think that's necessary. How could that be the problem?
I don't know. It's pulling all their information because it's pulling their gamer card, basically.
Yeah, when it... But
I'm just saying, like, the building of the avatar is not, like, some sort of major problem because it's not like they have information about avatar building on their system that you don't have on yours. It's just, like, this is how their avatar is assembled. It's just, it's very simple, very simple data.
Something I thought was interesting was Becky was playing around in it, you know, building her avatar when I got home. And when she got done, she did something I've never seen her do before. She went into the marketplace, started looking around at game demos.
Yeah.
I've never seen her in the marketplace. But I guess the way they've redone the UI, she just felt like she could hop in there and look around.
Hmm.
We'd never said anything about it before, and I'd never even noticed it or thought about it until I saw her doing it there.
They make very great efforts to be like, look at this marketplace. It's all the way over here. It's right here. And you click on this shit. They're really about that. I don't know. Like I said, I like the exposure of a lot of the information that they've provided, but, man, you've done a complete redesign for something that was working. Like, if you're going to change it, if you have, like, a completely new idea about how you want this done, that's fine. But it needs to work at least as good as it was working before, because it was not broken before. It was working. It was functional. And it did everything that needed to be done. The stuff you've added is for your benefit almost entirely, so that it's easier to sell us your shit. That's what you've done. And we get some benefit out of it, a little more. We get the party system, and we get, like...
I'd say that's a pretty substantial benefit. The party system is really nice.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. A two-day-old update isn't enough for me to see exactly how powerful, stable, and flexible the party system is. I believe it's going to be a great thing. That is a substantial update. And if they had added that, great. I'm saying, like, they made a tremendous overhaul of the system. It needs to work as well as what was there before. And at the moment, taken as an average, it does not. So hopefully that gets changed a little bit and, like, the little weirdnesses get worked out and all this other stuff. But they added some
I mean, the problems are certainly there, but they seem... I don't want to say uncommon, but I'd say the majority, 50% or higher, are probably having no problems with
it. That's not a significant enough majority.
I'm saying the majority.
But if you're part of this is something that really irritates me. It's very easy for us when we are not having problems to say that the people who are having problems are somehow part of a statistically insignificant minority. It's very easy to say, oh, well, I didn't have a problem, so no problem. But there is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree. However, when you roll out anything like this, to expect it to be problem-free with modern technology being what it is, like, I think that's a bit ridiculous.
Then you have to start thinking about the legitimacy of your need to roll out something new.
I think it's worth, in terms of, like, reading things online and seeing the level of problems that it's causing and everything, I think for the features added, we're doing pretty well in terms of, like, the stuff that we've had to put
in. I think it's a little too early to say that because I don't think the features have really been put through their test yet. And the system still is not... The system, I'm speaking about the network, still isn't functioning entirely properly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's been working fine for me yesterday.
And it hasn't been working fine for me.
Yeah.
So it's not functioning entirely properly.
I'm just saying, like... I haven't heard anybody else other than you having problems with, like, the network infrastructure.
I was having problems with it last night. I was having problems with it this morning.
Yeah.
So, not big
problems.
Not any more problems than I was having yesterday.
Yeah.
But again, that's perfectly fine. That's not my big issue. I'm just saying that, like, it's a UI. It's the user interface, not the Microsoft interface. User experience is at the core of the design of a UI.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with expecting an unprecedented level of stability and operability from something like that. There's nothing in my mind that makes me believe that it's okay to accept a certain degree of fault unless you are Johnny on the fucking spot with fixing the faults that you created.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure that's happening.
Well, I mean...
I'm not super pissed about it, but it's like, shit was fine before. The shit was fucking fine. Now I try to play Fallout, now my girlfriend hops on and tries to talk in a party system, which is apparently one of the greatest things we've gotten, and it hardlocks the system. It wasn't happening before. It is not my system. It is the shit that was downloaded to my system on Wednesday. My system does not work as well now as it worked on Tuesday. I want it to work like it worked on Tuesday. It's their job to make sure it does. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I'm getting the feeling that, like, no matter what they do, you're not going to be pleased.
I was extremely pleased with it before.
No, you complained about the UI before. You complained that it was too kiddy.
I'm talking about the NXE. I was very happy with everything that I'd seen about the NXE. I was apprehensive because the rollout of anything like that is problematic. I know that it has been problematic with stuff like that before, But at the same time, and I would be glad to go back and listen to previous episodes with you, while I bitched about the layout, about the fact that it was the Fisher-Price UI, I grudgingly, at each occasion, accepted the fact that it wasn't as sexy and sleek as the
but it was functionally better.
But the fucking thing worked. Every time I admitted to that, so... I'm saying they took that one thing,
the one
that
thing
I liked about
I
that previous bullshit UI, and now I have this snazzy piece of shit that doesn't do the one thing I liked about the previous one.
Yeah, but
I'm a little bit pissed about that.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a product designed by someone else. It's hard to have everything work the way you want it to. I mean, I've just resigned myself to say, look, as long as they've got the majority of things working the way I want it to, I'm going to be happy. Because I could always find fault in whatever's going on.
But I'm not even just talking about design fault. Right now, I'm talking about fault with functionality.
But that's what I'm saying, like functionality versus design versus
hard locks are not an acceptable thing. They're not an acceptable thing. Errors with not being able to do simple disk management tools.
I don't know what that was. I really don't know what that was.
But, yeah, like, that's not cool. Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, it's never going to happen, but I don't really... philosophically, from a design standpoint, I philosophically believe that it should ever be okay. I know that it's going to happen, but I'm never going to resign myself to the fact that it's going to happen. I have to be pissed about it, else they'll never fix it.
Yeah, I want to try and replicate it. I want to see if it does it again. And,
right.
You know, there was somebody else who had a problem in, maybe it was Fallout or something. They had, you know, it was Gears they had a problem with, and they tried to replicate it, and they couldn't get it to do it again.
Yeah.
It's like, man, when it's that sporadic or when it's that just, you never know when, that's kind of scary itself.
Well,
like,
and not only that, but like that's a how much is it the Xbox, or how much is it just a fluke, and how much is it related to the NXE, if it happens like once. Because, I mean, I've had my 360 hard lock on me before. I'm not saying that yours was a fluke.
Have you installed any games yet?
I haven't bothered.
Okay, I was just curious, because so far that's... the issue here is...
Well, that's also, again, just because you haven't done it, like, that's also an enormous, enormous selling point of the NXE.
See, that didn't matter at all to me.
But again,
we've had the install on console discussion before.
Yeah, but it is an enormous thing. Like, first, there are people who will never avail themselves of the party system.
Yeah.
But who really want to install the thing. Like, there are all these features that are contained within the whatever the fuck this thing is called now.
Yeah.
In the UI.
The UI. Yeah. Let's just call it that
and
for
I'm
simplicity's
like,
sake.
Like, I mean, it's still too soon after the release to be sure, but to my mind, what they've done is significant enough, and the percentages of people having some kind of issue are high enough that they really, really need to figure out what that is now that they have... a total user base operating on this thing, and they have like real information, the kind of things you can never get out of the beta that they had. And like, just send me a fucking patch. That's where I am right now. I'm between the to some degree buggy release and the ultimate smooth operation. The problem is that that's a period of maximum uncertainty. And that's a major, major problem. You've released your thing. There are problems. If this was an MMO, if this was World of Warcraft, I would be slightly irked, but not extremely upset, because I have 4 years with these guys where they've done this sort of shit before. They've broken their game countless times, and every time have fixed it.
Right.
This is the first time they've done an update of like this
magnitude
on the thing. And I'm at the point now where it hasn't been fixed yet. And I haven't ever seen them on the Xbox fix a problem of this magnitude. So,
right, we've never been in the place to see how they respond to this kind of thing.
So right now,
I see that
I'm at
nervous hesitation,
So it's like...
of how they're going to handle it.
The next time the system hard locks, I have to delete the information. And if it hard locks again after that, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm also at that point of, like, uncertainty and troubleshooting. So, whereas, again... there's a ton of shit out right now, and 4 days ago, it was working fine. So it went from working fine to, like, the ghost of a locked-up system right around every corner with every tick of the clock. And, like, that's not what I get out of that. That's not what I get out of that machine, and I don't like it. So the minute it starts to behave that way, I begin to get very upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like you said, it's only been 2 days, so I think hopefully, with, you know, within the first week with the user data they've collected and the feedback and everything, hopefully we'll see them come out and kind of give an overview, a diagnosis of, like, what they think's going on, what's going on, where they're, what if they're going to do.
Well, that's obviously the next step, and then the next step beyond that is
actually seeing the patch.
Delivering a fix of some kind, even if it's even if it's information about what you can do or can avoid doing
to help mitigate
a problem.
That's
where it really is now. I will say, and like this is a big deal, and I do like the majority of what they've done is still. I don't know. I'm neither here nor there about stupid little avatars, whatever. But like I've said several times, I like the exposure of information. I like the different types of information that are available about things that we had no idea about before. Like, these are all really great things. Party system stands to be pretty significant. Sure as fuck hope that the installation issues aren't what causing all this, because I really like not having to turn up my entire house around the sound of my disk drive and my 360.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's all very, very good. However, like, I just don't... And even when I'm not necessarily afflicted, like, it's okay. I just don't like the idea that... Because this is how this shit was with Red Rings for a long time, and I'm not saying that's where this was going. But early on, the Red Rings were just kooks and tinfoil hat-wearing motherfuckers who were a statistically insignificant minority of 360 owners.
Mm-hmm.
Early on. And they were all cried down. They were all pushed to the side, shoved off the table, and marginalized because they were bitching about something that wasn't a real problem because it didn't happen to enough people. Now, it's a universal gamer rallying cry. It's the fucking 5th of November. In the console world, and we will never let them forget about it. But in the beginning, it started the same way. I'm having a major fucking problem, and I wasn't having this problem before. Oh, it's your fault, you know, you shouldn't put your 360 on top of a toaster when you run it, or, you know, you shouldn't put peanut butter sandwiches in the disk drive. Whatever. It was never Microsoft's fault. We always want it to be the user fault. We never really, despite the fact that we've carried pitchforks before, in this very cause, we never actually want to believe they're at fault. Because at the moment, we're not having a problem. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I kind of am. That, like, if we're going to talk about the issue, we at least have to recognize the fact that this is always how it starts. So it's never really safe when someone does something like this to say, well, you know, it doesn't seem to be a problem. From where I'm sitting, it seems to be a problem, so...
Well, what I'm
hopefully a week from now.
Kind of what I'm getting at is, yeah, I think with Microsoft's track record and like acknowledging, I mean, they, you know, with the Red Ring issue, they've acknowledged, you know, look, this was a legitimate problem.
Let's just hope it doesn't take the same time frame for them to acknowledge this.
Well,
problem.
I'm wondering if they've learned their lesson in customer service.
I'm not even saying they haven't. Like that's
I'm saying. It's like I'd like to see if that
it was a $2 billion lesson.
Right. If that impacts how they handle this issue.
All I'm saying is that like. Big change. The impetus was entirely like Microsoft's for this big change. You're selling me a lot of decent shit with this change, but you've taken away one of the things for me that was like totally cool before, and you violated a standard that I think that all user interfaces should have at its core, which is that it's the user experience that drives the design of the user interface. That's what it's all about.
Right.
And when you get into this thing and you start talking about all the problems that may be related to a certain percentage of it, I've just found a very natural tendency to be like, well, I'm often running, wheel spinning, having the kind of fun I want to have. Everything's cool. And the people that aren't, like, you know, motoring right along and who are trying to say, like, there's a problem, do not get listened to. And I'm just trying to point out that this is exactly how it happened before. I don't think that this thing is bricking shit. I don't think it's going to like creep up our backs.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
And
I haven't heard
all of our 360s. No. I'm just saying, out of curiosity,
like as an aside, has anybody heard of anybody bricking anybody's system?
No.
I hope not.
But
that would suck.
I just don't. I don't like, you know, being in a position of like extraordinary minority, which, and in terms of opinion, I find myself there an awful lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should be used to that, James.
But like, it really pisses me off because like. Later on, everybody's going to take up the cause and, you know,
and you're like,
put on
hey,
goddamn Che Guevara t-shirts or some horse shit like that and say that I was always against Microsoft's ill treatment of the consumer by peddling horse shit technology. And like, no, you weren't. Not until your shit red ringed.
Right.
So, Just let me say my fucking piece.
Everybody's having a good time.
And I want my shit
right
to
now.
Not lock up seven times within the span of 3 hours.
Yeah.
So
yeah, everybody who's having a good time with it right now are just kind of flying blind, because at any moment that floor could be taken out from under them because they just don't.
You know what happens
when you have a beta test of like what? How many did they throw into that beta?
I find
tens
we're
of gonna, thousands.
Yeah.
But then when you
have
dish
like
it out to millions of users,
people,
right?
Yeah. And everybody knows that. I will never expect them to have like. I know what that means.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I never get auto pissed when stuff breaks. Like it, I don't.
It's kind of like autoplay, but different.
Except for the fact that like. Yeah. Part of my problem is that, like, that's the one job this machine does. It's not like it's a very complex machine. Like, a complex machine in the other room, and it breaks, and I deal with it, and I go through my normal, like, sort of emotional roller coaster, you know, wreck of self for, like, however long it takes to deal with it. But, like I said, you know, if I'm sitting down on the thing and it's going to, like, lock up on me completely randomly, can't make it happen. Can't make it not happen. It's just going to happen whenever. It's like the sword of fucking Damocles hanging over my head. And frankly, I'll just get up and go level my Death Knight. You know what I'm saying?
It's
it's a very sort of uncomfortable relationship. I start like
getting frustrated.
Because like every time I would lock up, last night Dana came in and was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, what was happening? Like, what were you doing? What was this thing? What was that thing? So, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, and I'm not even as pissed about it as I sound. I'm just in a place where it's like,
makes you nervous.
My system's unstable because you updated your shit. Fix it. That's basically the end of what I have to say. Fix
like,
your shit for me and everybody else.
You mentioned
else
it earlier. How do you even troubleshoot that issue? Like my when it wouldn't let me delete that. Well, okay. So yours is locking up on you for Fallout.
Right.
My,
well,
my thought would be okay. Well, delete it and then reinstall it. And
well,
see what
no.
happens
I mean,
again, that sort of thing.
You treat it the same way you would a PC. And the first step always is reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Just reboot. Like, do something normal. Like, if it's hard locked, boot it up, and then do, like, a clean shutdown and a reboot. Play it again. If it locks up again, like, what were you doing? Were you doing the same kind of thing? Where were you in the game? What was happening? You know. Don't do that thing. Go do something entirely different.
Right,
go play a different
game.
Okay, well, it's this installed game. Okay, we'll go play a game that isn't installed and see if that's a problem. And then, like, then go back and maybe uninstall it, you know, stuff like that.
It's, right, yeah.
I mean, I know how to troubleshoot it, and...
To the extent that you can on a 360.
To the extent that I can when my girlfriend really just wants to sit down and play Fallout.
Right.
That's another issue. I can't be like, get out of the way while I spend an hour troubleshooting.
You can't. She's got to find her dad.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Jeremy and Daniel, do you guys have the drive capacity, I suppose, to install a game or two? Or
I don't, but that's something I'm asking for Christmas.
Bigger hard drive?
Yes.
Finally?
Uh-huh.
Well,
you and probably a lot of people, actually.
Yeah. I've got the space. I just don't...
Just give it a try.
Maybe I'll throw a look at that on there and see how it runs tonight.
See what happens. I mean, like, I've installed Burnout and haven't had a problem. In fact, I've had an improvement on what the game is. I installed World at War when we were playing on Tuesday and didn't have a problem, with the exception of deleting it.
Yeah.
But all that
yeah,
seemed
I'll try
to,
throwing Left 4 Dead on it tonight.
All that seemed to fix
that
was turn it off, turn it back on, and then delete it, which I never
did. I installed Kingdom of Keeflings, but that's because it's an arcade title. I don't have an option.
Well, yeah. There's games that we have installed on our hard drives that we're not having problems
with. I mean, and we did talk about this ahead of time before I even had any concept of it being a problem. It was just like, this is weird. This is not what it was meant to do.
Yeah, these games
weren't designed to be installed to this hard drive. They were designed.
Did you hear about Halo 3?
No.
Halo 3 performs worse when it's installed on the hard drive.
Really?
Because Bungie came out and explained why. They said what we did was we designed our game to cache certain bits of itself to the hard drive. Now, it doesn't know it's on the hard drive, so it's trying to read and write from two places on the hard drive at once, so it slows it down. They're like, don't install it. Which I thought was kind of interesting, because that tells me Bungie knows a hell of a lot about how to improve the performance of their game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Without... Something like that. So, yeah.
Right. No, that's interesting, but that's very much to the point of, like, this, the whole, we've gone years now where they've been saying, no, the whole thing's optimized. Like, the whole system, the architecture of data throughput is such that you optimize data coming off the disk. Like, so, yeah, no need to install. And, like, we finally get, like, the whole, oh, you're going to be able to install. And, like, you know, you're so happy at the, you're either so ambivalent or so happy at the prospect that you don't bother to be, like, why? Like, honest to God, yeah. Why? You've been feeding me a line of... Well, it's not
we always knew that was a...
Yeah, but you've been saying it for a long time. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, you don't need to, because it's, you know, because it's so awesome. On like, coming to, like, awesome, you know?
Reason
and it's
shit,
like, what? I can't hear you over my COD 4 desk.
Well, yeah. while we're talking about consoles hard locking, about
I called you after
the Monday night show, and I was like, man, I was playing Mirror's Edge, and yeah. And I got to this room, on the sixth level. I finally get to the building that I'm heading for. Go in the door, go up a little bit, turn a corner, bam! System hard locks. Completely non-responsive. Had to power it down.
This is the PS3.
This is the PS3.
Yes.
Since the little checkpoints in between in the levels don't save, I had to start the level over again. And so I get up there, get to the same point, get to the exact same point in the room, although I'm facing a slightly different way, hard locks again. So I got to be an expert on the beginning of level 6. I can run through that very, very well.
Motherfucker, you can do it blindfolded.
So it turns out that I'm not the only person, you know, experiencing this problem, but fortunately there was an alternate route I could take.
Yeah.
So this is why I got to be really good at level 6, because it's a much harder route to take. You get to the point in the level where there's this giant billboard and there's
explain
a sniper
that to them,
in front
I haven't
of
played it.
It
yet.
Well, I don't think either of them got to this point.
No, because we're still just behind where you were.
Yeah. The very first six. Enemy in the level.
PS3 too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. What had you just finished up doing?
I got out of the mall.
Okay.
It was beginning level 6. You get to a giant billboard, there's a sniper in front of it, first enemy. Taking him out is pretty easy. And then there's two zip cords. One right above you and one a little bit lower. Getting on the second one...
So this is the part in that preview that we watched one night after the show was over, and I was like, ooh,
that comes much earlier.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's not as hard as it looks, either.
No, okay. It's really not.
Now, you get your timing with the first run, you can get on.
The first zip cord's very easy to take. It's right above you, jump up, you grab it, you slide down. And my problem was, I kept trying to get to the second zip cord and grabbing the first one by mistake, at which point I'd kind of have to start the level over, because there's no way to get back up there. So I finally realized what I had to do was step down a step to a little small area in front of the billboard and then just kind of drop onto it. And then it slides you down towards another sniper. And this was my absolute favorite moment in the game. So I'm actually kind of glad I ran into this lockup because mm-hmm. it would never have happened otherwise. I realize I'm heading straight for this guy. So I'm like, I'm going to try and drop off my zip cord and hit the attack button right as I land, like, on him. And I landed feet first on the guy and smashed him into the ground, you know. It was a wonderful impact. And I'm flipping out. I'm like, oh, my God, see that, Becky? What I did was... And I look back, and she has her hands over her eyes. She can't stand. She gets so motion sick. So I start to explain to her what happened, and a trophy pops up. It says, you got a trophy. It's a me.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
So,
well done.
Which was especially good considering I had just compared my playing of this to playing Mario back in the day. And mm-hmm. it was my favorite moment in the entire game.
Very nice.
But you had a similar problem not too long ago in your PS3.
Yeah, when I was... And this was apparently very... again, common enough that it was like... What the fuck is going on? And then you look on the internet, it's like, yeah, I'm having this problem, and like nobody believes me, but I'm having this problem. It was in Force Unleashed. I couldn't.
You couldn't get the good ending. Right?
I couldn't kill the Emperor. So you get two options, and I couldn't get the one ending, and I knew it was the good ending, and I couldn't do it. I was in a fight with him, and it would hardlock every time I got him down to about 10%. And I tried like 4 times. So thankfully, I was very lucky, and there was an alternate. It was another decision you could make, and I made that decision. I got the bad ending, and then having completed it, I just went ahead and looked at the good ending online. But, that's a problem. I've had a lot more hard lock issues on my PS3 in a game than I have on my 360. So far,
the 360's catching up.
Well, I mean, yeah, like I said, I don't know, but... Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that the majority of problems that, and this is just speaking completely anecdotally, I haven't even thought about this at all, but it seems to me that the majority of problems I've had have been with installations.
Yeah.
Since it got to the point where it was like, you know, you've absolutely got to install, like, all this stuff on your PS3.
Huh.
It's no longer an option. I want to say that that's been the case, but I would definitely have to go back and look to be certain. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe the goddamn thing's just... Whatever you're doing to make sure that the game knows how to optimize its throughput from optical disc to, you know, processor and back out, like... I mean, it's very interesting. I'm glad that you had read that about what Bungie said about Halo 3,
mm-hmm.
because I had no idea. And it makes perfect sense. It's what... I mean, not that it was wrong. Like I said, they weren't feeding us a line of shit. They were just feeding us a line. And they were
right.
leaning on a bit heavy. It was like, no, we've optimized this stuff to work. Obviously, some have better than others.
Right.
And I understand the technology's there with intelligent caching to the hard drive and everything. That's, I mean, that's very good. It just... Obviously, it doesn't necessarily... There seems to be potential for it to not work very well.
Mm-hmm.
Both ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, like, every game's gonna have to be optimized to run straight from disk. That's
right.
gonna have to be the standard. So that everything would operate on an arcade, on a hard driveless system. But, so maybe...
Yeah, that's gonna be kinda tough, man. Knowing that there's games out there that will perform worse if you install them on the hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I got lucky with Burnout, though, because they put their, you know... Theirs is available to download on the PSN anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably something they always were hoping for, is that this is what we're doing. You're gonna install it on your hard drive. Well, you can't do it on the 360. Well, fine, we'll put it on the disc, but you know, maybe one day you guys can put it on your marketplace. We know you can download the original Xbox games,
mm-hmm.
you know, the full games onto the hard drives and play from there. So
yeah.
you know, we'll optimize it that way. But there are what games are out there now that are actually bad for you to put on your hard drive?
We'll
to play.
Find out.
I'm sure a list will pop up.
Yeah,
will be
probably
end up being a consolidated list of stuff that performs better.
Ever since the first information came out about it not being a significant improvement in terms of load times, like I'm been fine with that. Honestly, my only issue is disk noise. That's my only issue.
And my issue is that my drive has been slowly dying.
Yeah.
every week or two. My system would lock, not because, you know, it was a full system lock, but because it couldn't read the disk. And you could hear it.
Yeah.
You could hear the disk drive making that terrible, I can't find what I'm looking for seek noise.
Oh, yeah. And we're then, just, like, going back and forth looking for
the And your game just stops, and that's it. And you're like, well, I have to reload for my last save.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to installing the disk because it'll extend the life of my drive.
And that's actually been something that a lot of... analysts and I'm not sure Microsoft has said anything about it. It's certainly not the kind of thing they would say, but a lot of people are being very candid about it, being like, this is really, so you're getting maybe a 5% improvement in load times,
mm-hmm.
but you're not chewing on your disk.
Yeah.
Which is another issue that they've never actually answered for, which is the destruction of media in their disk drives, which I personally have never had a problem with, but I've seen enough evidence to know that shit was eating discs. Like, I've seen the evidence.
I've seen plenty of YouTube videos where the guy just puts his disc in, lets it run, and then pulls it back out, and he's like, oh, here's what it looks like, all scratched to hell.
Yeah. And I do know that some of that was doing stupid shit, like
turning
moving
it
the system
while it's
right.
Oh, yeah.
But I know some of it wasn't, so. Between the noise, between drive death, which we know is a real thing, and
mm-hmm.
is not covered.
Right,
under
it's not
the extended
covered.
Warranty, like... That's really where it was at for me. So,
yeah.
If it's necessary, fine. I go back to doing whatever.
You know, one thing I will say about the like moving the console, you know, while it's running, while your disc is running and messing up the disc, I can't help but wonder. Like, I have a CD player in my car. That thing gets moved around a lot because it's in my car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't destroy discs.
Well, it doesn't.
Why can't we move that technology over to?
I think.
Just curious. I'm sure there's a good reason, and
I think the movement that they're talking about very specifically
is the
changing the plane. Yeah,
from
horizontal to vertical.
I guarantee you, if your car went vertical and then horizontal and you pop that disc out, there'd be something wrong with it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't plan on doing that to test. I just got a new car. I don't want to try the vertical to horizontal thing with my vehicle, but...
Yeah, and going back to the list of, like, load times, I, again... I saw how I started seeing the trend of how insignificant the load times were as far as like the differences. Mm-hmm. Now I want a list of what games actually are an improvement in texture pop-ins, things like that.
Yeah.
With installation, because I can tell you now that Paradise has an improvement with playing it off the hard drive.
There's some stuff that
somebody
that
needs
I would
to get
not.
On that out there. 360installs.com. I already invented your site name. You just list all, just compile all the data and list like what improvements, if any, for any game and which
it's
ones
gonna,
are better.
Well, it's going to have to
disc.
Be all abuser submissions.
Yeah, I go think. For it. Somebody get on it, make it.
Well, it's, and it's real easy. It's totally not. I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice the anywhere from 6 to 12 minutes for an installation, depending on the game.
Yeah.
Because there's a few things that I know I still have in my library that I'm like kind of curious about. That I think I'll go home and like install just to be like
GTA is the main one I'm curious about.
GTA is actually that's actually a really good
because that had the worst texture pop in of any game I've played on the 360. So
yeah, I have issues with we'll see Mass Effect.
Yeah, I was
Mass Effect
say,
was pretty bad.
Mass Effect
really I think
really
like to see
ass.
Mass Effect installed
with the texture pop in.
Yeah,
and Rainbow Six games, Rainbow Six Vegas.
Yeah, they're.
They weren't terrible.
They're
but
not
like,
terrible, but it's definitely you just definitely noticing
there. So
yeah. So
well, also as far as the NXE goes and kind of unexpected stuff, how about Sony pulling all of their movies from
oh,
Netflix's
right. Netflix
streaming service?
That's
that was man, what a crybaby move.
That's,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't. Maybe I'm missing something, but that feels petty.
It, man, to me too. Like,
because you're not like you're not. It's not as if they were going to distribute them exclusively. It's not like they were on the Xbox Marketplace or anything like that. I certainly understand that. But it's like, you're pulling them off of Netflix? Because they made this, like... Okay, fine. So nobody's going to be watching your movies on the Xbox. Neither are they going to be watching them through Netflix in any of the other formats where they can get them there. Like
they can't. I mean, they
no,
can't
no,
get
they
them
didn't,
through
they
there.
They didn't pull their movies from Netflix.
No. But I thought they pulled them from the...
The streaming service.
The streaming
only,
service.
Only from the streaming
service. Not the streaming service altogether.
On certain
just
devices.
The streaming service through the 360.
Oh, well, shit, then that doesn't bother me at all.
The notice actually, when you go to activate it, is like, note, some Sony movies may not be available on certain devices.
No, I thought they pulled them all
well,
from
see,
the streaming service.
That's what I read.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
No, you can still watch them on your computer.
Like, I can pull it up on my computer
if it's
or anything, anywhere.
Windows,
okay.
Even if it's Microsoft Windows.
And, you know, or any other
that's
still
something that I don't
Netflix.
Particularly care about, because that to me is the same thing as not having them available in the marketplace. But what I had read the same thing Jeremy did,
yeah.
which was that they were removed from
yeah.
Netflix's streaming
no,
service.
That's not true. But it's I think it's still a crybaby move. I still think it's like, man, how
No, I don't. I don't think that. If they have maintained its availability in every other... like thing, but just prevented like those guys from getting it. It's like, okay, you're not going to profit in your deal. Like, we're not going to help you profit in this little thing that you've done. And if they're able to do it so specifically, it's essentially a surgical removal.
Oh, very much so.
And that's actually, I don't know. I
think it's kind of, because
realizing
that
the fun,
realizing to Netflix and being like. You can't let these be shown on the 360. You got to change all this code so that it blocks
really,
it from going out there.
Really, that's what business is about.
Well, but I think it's a crybaby move.
No,
it's really...
And honestly, like I said, I agreed with you. You could tell just minutes ago. I agreed with you when I thought they removed it from the streaming service in an effort to prevent it from being viewed on the 360. But if they were able to remove it so specifically from this one thing, it's like, well... Okay, that's... because. They've been known to make much, much stupider decisions. Where it's
oh,
like,
I guess that's true. They
like take
have.
Like take a shotgun approach in order to spite someone. You know, like cut off their own nose to spite their face, like sort of thing. Like they've been known to do that. And this is actually a much more calculated and surgical thing than they've been known for in the past. In which case, I have to be like, well, okay, like okay, like that's a thing. And it's like, well, if you. I don't know, if you're a Netflix, if you could already do Netflix streaming stuff, like, it's not like all of a sudden you can't watch those things, you just watch it on your computer, so.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to watch it on my computer.
Yeah, I know.
I want to watch it on my Xbox.
That's cool, like, I understand.
So now I'm just not going to watch it, because I'm not
No, you can do that, you can just order the disc,
see,
and then put that in your Xbox.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you give them what for?
I'm waiting until they come out with like some kind of thing that doesn't let you play the DVDs in your
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. Well, it just seems like such a specific thing that it's like I don't know. There are infinitely worse ways for people to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that makes it
good. That's when Microsoft has the HD DVD player, and Sony has a Blu-ray player. Because
sometimes
the HD DVD format had not been under Sony's control.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've got laptops that have Blu-ray players in them now that run off of Windows or whatever else. But I'm just saying it's almost the same thing. You can't play a Blu-ray disc in the 360.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a Sony format.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. That's a format issue thing. That was a different
argument. If that format war had been settled before the 360 came out, though, the 360 would have had a Blu-ray drive. I guarantee you their next system will have a Blu-ray drive.
Oh, yeah. Now that it's accepted.
Yeah, that was a slightly different thing. I don't know. I just... It's a little weird because, you know, that's... There ain't no doubt about it, man. Like, yeah, you can watch shit on a something using Windows, but, like... Windows and the Xbox are two totally different approaches to how Microsoft manages its properties. Yeah. They've had vastly different histories, and they fought entirely different battles. The Xbox is like a mini-universe all about Microsoft.
And it's exclusive to Netflix.
It is very contained, very controlled, directed, manipulated. It's their thing, and that's perfectly fine, because it's their thing. So, like, for Sony to be like, I don't want you to have my stuff on your very, very specific thing where I have no interest, and it's competing directly against my other thing.
Right.
And like I said, when I thought that they were just taking like a blanket approach in order to spite that whole thing, I was like, that's pretty fucking stupid. To know that they were able to remove it so very specifically, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You go right ahead and do that.
No, that does bring up an issue. Just now when you said that, you know, whatever next-gen Microsoft console will assuredly have Blu-ray, I wonder if Sony can prevent them from doing that.
I don't believe they can, because Sony is not the only stakeholder in Blu-ray.
But seeing as they are a stakeholder, I wonder how much pull they have to kind of shut that thing down.
Not that much, but I think I've read, you know, this thing been
hashed
out before.
I haven't looked into that before.
Yeah.
Too much in terms of
I'm
like,
not sure
what,
that they would
they
want to
do.
Prevent them from doing it.
Why? Yeah.
Increases sales of their...
But one of the major sellers for the PS3 when it came out was, it's also a Blu-ray player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that other console's not a Blu-ray player.
Well, but that's when they were trying to establish Blu-ray as dominant. Now, it is unquestionably dominant, so the argument is settled. Now it's like...
And there are cheaper Blu-ray players out there now. That
right.
Was the
we beat you. Now,
now we have
here's
to sell
how
our
you
games.
Distribute media, and we're going to do it in our way. It's like, you know, we beat the Japanese, and then we told them, like, how to do stuff.
Yeah, like, I just wonder if they could prevent it, would they want to use it as another bullet point over the 360 on their next console?
I don't think that'll be a no. Because it
that
won't
could,
matter.
That
because
could get it, them into antitrust problems.
But
it too.
Does, but as a matter, it's like what you just said, that was the PS3 was the cheap Blu-ray player option.
That was
right.
A big
that's
in
no
the,
longer
in the next
case.
Generation of hardware, it's going to be a completely pointless thing because
you can buy Blu-rays now for like $150.
Yeah, that argument will never that'll never be a thing. Assuming they don't launch us into some completely
new
bullshit new thing.
Oh God.
And I don't necessarily mean a new disc thing. I mean like a new I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
A new kind of data movement, data storage, like a way for them to maintain data integrity. Like, the whole spooky notion of, like, all streaming information available over networks in the future kind of thing, like, where you don't even buy fucking discs anymore. Like, somebody somewhere...
The Phantom?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody somewhere, hey, man, like... Phantom was complete crap, but the Phantom was like the Phantom was the wet dream of certain kinds of people who don't want you having very much control over that stuff. It answers the secondary market question. It answers a pirating question. It answers the format war question. It answers a lot of things.
It'll happen one day. It's just a question of how far down the road it
that's,
is.
That's the thing. Microsoft is certainly in a better position to actually take the next step on that because they're a generation ahead at this point on developing really useful integrated networks.
That's true.
Everybody else is behind. That's one of the reasons that we all felt that there was an intrinsic fail in PSN is that they had not market proven their technology. And Microsoft did that in the previous generation. They spent the money, they made the mistakes, they really did learn, and they've created, like, really fucking robust system.
Every game has to have achievements. Every game has to be able to...
What Sony is just now mandating.
Mandating that. The trophy support must be in every game, starting in 09 and then going forward from
there.
And
what was the next thing?
The other thing was is that now they're going to try to do a lot of what Xbox.com is doing.
Oh, yeah, integration with the...
PlayStation.com, you can sign in with your username from the PSN.
Really, yeah, thanks, welcome to
and everything else.
Fucking 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And again, I'm,
and
I don't...
People ask the question, well, are achievements and trophies important? Yeah, they're fucking important.
Yeah.
Because I will swear to you that Fallout 3 was not as fun for me because I did not have an achievement or trophy system.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can make whatever value judgment you want on that, but
it
wasn't
fun. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter.
And like, the most fun I had playing Mirror's Edge, well, the entire game was great, and I would have had fun regardless, but the standout moment in the story I'll always tell is when I Mario smashed that guy in his chest.
Well, it's like, I think it's just tough to quantify. I think it's tough to, like, lay out on a piece of paper why they work, but I think, like, if you just want to sort of feel what people like achievements. Like, they just... There's an achievement for that.
People like rewarding. People like rewards.
It's just a thing. I think it's very clear that it's there. And I'm not even saying that everything that Sony
qualify
doing
that
is
by
wrong.
Saying not every achievement list on every game, you know, makes the game better. Some have had horrible achievements that haven't added any value to the game whatsoever. But when it's done right,
it's good.
Yeah,
it can add a little.
Very
bit.
Very Pavlovian the way that. Like, oh, I gotta hit that guide button.
Yes.
That's my signal to hit the guide button to see what just happened. What did I do?
Which, that's another thing about the PS3.
Oh,
when that trophy prop pops up, I should hit my guide button. It should tell me exactly what that trophy means. I shouldn't have to navigate through the menu to the trophy menu and then look that trophy up.
That's all right. That'll come out in about 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're getting there, man.
By the time
the
PS4 comes out.
It'll happen by the end of this. Yeah. They're trying to make the NXE the XMB in Microsoft's, like, image.
That
just,
really, really works.
Yeah,
people really,
behind.
Really like it. Yeah.
They're just behind.
It's very clear to me
why the 360 is ahead in that regard, because they started this entire process years ago.
Right.
They spent years with an immature, nascent, untested, like, underdeveloped and undersupported thing. And then, like, here it is doing its thing. So, again, and I like that. I like that they're pushing ahead. It makes it possible for them to do something like the upgrade from the previous system to the current system.
Right.
Assuming shit just, like, gets to a point where I can trust it. And I think that's a really good thing. I don't think that the XMB is quite that mature. I think that, like, the amount of time it took them to implement in-game XMB, stuff like that, I don't think that the maybe the tools necessary to continue to develop it exist, or that it itself is not flexible enough, you know, the kind of thing that you would build into the second generation of that kind of thing. I don't really know. I know that I don't have the first fucking clue what the next generation of this shit's going to look like, though.
Yeah.
Because the jump from the previous to this one made no sense to me. All the things that we kind of assumed about how it always works, console to console, generation to generation, stuff didn't really work that way.
How long do you think it's going to be before the next generation?
Got
because
it.
The position we're in right now, the Wii prints money. They can't produce them fast enough, you know, to get them to meet demand still. So they have no incentive to release a new system.
Print money. stupid board you stand on.
Microsoft is still reeling financially from the Red Ring of Death extended warranty. So unless there was pressure from Sony to put out a new system, they don't want to right now.
Well, and not to get, like,
if you believe what they say, that Sony's the PS3's a 10-year system.
Well,
and they're still trying to.
It may have to be.
Yeah.
Because who the fuck can afford to go into the kind of debt necessary
to
tool up a number of factories in order to build something like that? Nobody can really afford it right now. Even if they weren't reeling, like, nobody's
shit's expensive.
Nobody's companies are worth today what they were, you know, a minute ago.
Right.
Like, so nobody can really afford to go into, like, tremendous debt at this point. Like, so thinking on a slightly longer-term timeline there, it's like, maybe I really wonder, like, yeah, how much milking of the current stuff.
So, yeah, I don't think Microsoft or Sony are in a position to release a new system, you know, on the 5-year time
frame.
Are
they ready for the
seen.
Fact that they can't do it, though? Because
that's a very interesting question.
Right now, I mean, just as an example, right now, All the people I know who play Fallout mostly play on the PC, right? But for the most part, you know, other than your differences in resolution and probably, like, related frame rates and stuff, you're getting pretty much the same experience with a different kind of interface. Like, they're comparable, you know? Mm-hmm. Yes, this one looks, you know, 35% better because it's on the PC, but pretty comparable. As time goes on, that split is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and if we have to go for an extraordinarily long amount of time, then
it's going to be a substantial difference.
The deviation is going to be even greater.
Although, you know who's in the ideal position to release a new system in a couple of years when theirs turns 5 years old is Nintendo, because they've been making money hand over fist on their system. They've never sold it at a loss. And their system will be aged so much since it started off being mature technology.
Right.
They could release a system that's graphically marginally a step above the PS3 or 360, and it'll still be very, very cheap for them to produce.
That's possible.
That's true.
It's very weird, like how that stuff works on the clock that we've been used to for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always understood, like, oh, the new system.
5 years. It's time for a new system.
It's going to cost this much money. Mm-hmm. We can expect this degree of advancement in terms of the thing. It stopped making any sense in this previous jump to me. And I had to, like, relearn how to expect things from these different groups. So I don't fucking know anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whatever. You
along for the
thing,
ride, I'll, see what happens.
Pretty much. That's how nowadays, it's just
I'll
too
take
hard.
One,
to,
please.
It's too hard to predict.
Whatever the hell it is.
That's okay. I've got all three systems now. I'm not aching for new ones to
they
come out.
They
right
update their
now.
Handhelds faster than they update their.
Dude, handhelds come out at a crazy rate.
Yeah. The DSi and then the, what, PS3 8500, wherever we're at.
40 bajillion million.
which is also kind of good because that's, I mean, glad that system is still enjoyable for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like,
good.
Like there seems to have been a momentum shift for certain people. You know, like the PSP was like just it was what it is when it came out, like really sexy piece of technology. But it was
first
like
first time you saw the XMB.
Yeah, when they couldn't really nail the software. Whereas over on the DS, it was like, well, this stuff is just really great. Now the DS has kind of drifted off into this weird place.
You know, they have kind of an interesting history with their handhelds and backwards compatibility. They keep backwards compatibility for the previous generation of hardware and then drop everything before that. Game Boy Advance had Game Boy Color backwards compatibility. But the DS dropped the old Game Boy Color stuff, just kept GBA.
Right.
And now the DSi is dropping...
DIBS.
Yeah.
You wanted to say that, didn't you?
They're dropping the GBA compatibility and just being backwards compatible with the DS. So, like, as long as they keep backwards compatibility with the previous generation, they seem to be able to pull
really
people
good
in.
System.
Yeah.
For how
I don't know. It's
that
just,
all works.
It's weird. I wish I had even something. I wish I could prognosticate it all. Even just make up some shit that would sound fun.
I got no clue anymore.
I really can't, like...
They're crazy.
And maybe I was just fooling myself before about, like, some notion I had about how it was gonna work. But what I've really done is come to terms with the fact that I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be whatever. I just hope that... it's also not gonna be as, like... I'm also not as starry-eyed about it as I used to be. Like, I know... We all know, I think, the leaps that can be taken, but I think it's been proven that they'll never be taken. Like, for someone to develop the kind of thing that they could simply because it would be better isn't going to happen because it would be more expensive than it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think Sony learned a pretty harsh lesson about price point.
It did.
This past generation. They're not going to launch another $600 system.
No, even if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Even if all the components completely justify the $600, which it did.
Unless inflation just gets up that high.
Right. You
know? Well, yeah.
Relatively speaking, though, yeah, they're not going
to
do it.
For the guy that's listening to this 20 years from now, ha ha.
Yeah, right, $600. Games are $600, fool.
Yeah.
That's going to sound pretty stupid.
All right, well, jump into the mailbag.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we dug on that longer than we thought we would.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't
have
time.
Well, whatever. Like, they need to resolve their shit, so.
Yeah.
I'll jump right into, actually, our forums.
Real quick.
Over at ColonyOfGamers.com, HunterX280 brought up Steve Demeter, who Demiforce.
Mm-hmm.
Trism for the iPhone. We had him on.
A long time ago.
We had him on in February, right after Apple had announced, hey, we're going to open up the iPhone's SDK and whatever
right,
else
right.
You can start making games, App Store's coming in 6 months, or ever how long it was, 5 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him, and he had been already developing Trism for the
jailbroken iPhone.
He had already been developing that for that system, and got his game out there. It was there at launch.
Mm-hmm.
One of the top. It was in the top five, I think, downloads.
Yeah.
At launch for the App Store and stuff, and he's done very well. He's made over 250,000.
Quarter mil.
Off of a game that costs $5.
Yeah.
So he's done.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, the second game, you know, costs $5. The first game cost him an awful lot of his time and peace of mind and blood, sweat, and tears. You know, so. I'm glad he's making a little bit of bank.
Well, I want to say it's all because we gave him the exposure on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I know.
Oh, it's
all
totally because of us.
He didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, clearly.
Be nice to hear back from him, you know, thank you.
Yeah. Come on, a little.
Where's our piece of that quarter million?
We need residuals or something.
Oh.
But yeah, so.
Free iPhone would be nice.
It's great. I've got it. I've got it on my iPhone. That's one of the first things I bought was that. And they've updated it and improved it. And
it's a fun game.
They're still working on it.
Yeah.
So.
You need to release it for Android. I want to know when you want.
Port it. Touch with
Go for it.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any type of contract he's in where.
I can't imagine.
I don't know.
Maybe so.
I'm curious about that. Yeah. So.
But it'd be interesting.
We should have
him back on sometime.
Yeah, we definitely should. I'd love to ask him if especially like looking at Android as a platform.
In our actual mailbag that you can send letters into, it's everyone@ingamechat.net if you'd like to get in touch with us. I want to welcome Scott Welker back. He left in spring for deployment, came back and found out we were in game chat.
What's going on?
Everything has changed.
Well, that's what he said. His subject line was, man, war changes everything.
That's excellent.
War never changes. Yes. Anyway.
Why don't you read what was written in the email?
He's just glad to hear that we all seem well. He's sticking with us.
Yeah. Well, I want to say welcome home.
He still listens, so yes.
Thanks glad to have you back stateside.
Yeah, definitely. Then Sean Monahan got in touch with us about leveling in MMOs. We talked about this and the way.
Well, because it's I'm doing it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
doing it again. His whole very rapid was, clip, I might add.
His whole thing was the most disappointing moment. It's enough to make you not want to play MMOs again. Yes, you had fun, but did you really do anything? You tell people you reached 70 to the response of, so, did you kill Illidan?
Right.
Which, for me, this is not making
any
sense to you.
It's an in-game boss. Basically, what he's saying in his email, because we talked about it earlier, he's
about
representing
how people
that,
play MMOs. He's one of the ones that enjoys
you enjoy
the
leveling.
Right.
Like, this was an achievement. This was a thing I did. I went through all of these stories. I did all this stuff, and I reached endgame. Ta-da! Yeah, well, that's really not how they're made. I take the entirely opposite approach. I sort of like the... like, while you're leveling, to me... is kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean ride. It's like some interesting stuff that's going on around you, like while you're taking this trip. It's like, okay, this is a neat quest. It's a great story. That was a fun dungeon. Whatever. The game for me does not start until max level. When you're not worrying about doing that stuff anywhere, everybody's on the same playing field. Everybody's at the same level. You're not progressing in terms of...
So it's all prep.
Well, it's... For me... To say that it simply is not fair to a lot of people. But once you're at endgame, it's like, okay, now there's an entirely different type of playstyle that can be brought to bear because everyone's on the same level. So now it's about changing gear and tuning yourself in a particular way to work with other people or against other people to achieve these very particular things that can't be tuned to a disorganized bunch of people who might be at different
levels, and as you're progressing, the progression of gear and all that kind of thing.
And,
right.
And he's certainly right in that it's a problem because, A, players have a tendency to look at it entirely different ways. Like, the guy standing beside you as you're leveling through the last, 10 levels of an MMO might really be enjoying the process. He might get to 70 and might decide, okay, it's time to start that alt. Like, whereas me, I'm like, thank God I can start playing the game. Now that I'm at, like, that's... And both are actually right, but what it means is that there's a fundamental misunderstanding, a an identity crisis in an MMO or doesn't really know how to service both types of players. And then even at endgame, how do you service all the people that are involved there? A lot of people really just want to go back and roll alts. A lot of people want to PvP. A lot of people want to do raid content or stuff like... It's very different. But it's certainly not fair to marginalize any particular one group of them. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. I have a lot of friends that are like that and obviously lost them because they leveled a sufficient number of times to recognize that they get to 70 and it's all done with. It's all over. It evaporates. Everything that you did to get to that point. And you're surrounded by people who don't think it's an achievement. They simply think it's like, you know, okay, that was the training.
Yeah.
Right. That was the prologue. Right. Now welcome to the game, you know, and if you don't feel that way, then, yeah, in all fairness, it's not really doing its thing for you. So I don't know. So I don't feel that way myself, but I certainly do understand. Tell the thing.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm leveling again, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah. You know, though, it does make me wonder, like, is the approach that they took with the Death Knight and WoW, you know, you level a character to this point, and then you can start back over with leveling this new character.
Yeah.
Take it to a little bit more extreme for people that enjoy that level journey. Be like, well, once you make it to max level, that unlocks this new class that you can then take back up.
Yeah, to some degree, except for the fact they backed off on the requirements.
Right, exactly. But that concept, I wonder if that's something that would be more of a reward for people.
They did that in City of Heroes. You got to get the level cap.
Right.
You opened up two more classes. Then, fortunately, I just spent 6 months or ever how long it was.
Well, there were insufficient, like, additional incentives to play that second class.
There really was. I mean, it really would have been better if I had completely new... well, their mission structure is a problem as well, but...
Yeah.
but completely new powers instead of just going back through some of the ones I had already had. There were for those classes, but... And I think a lot of it actually, now that I'm thinking about it in my head, it is the mission structure that is the problem with City of Heroes itself. Because while I may be doing things with new stuff, I'm still doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. The actual same.
Well, and they beat you with a stick a lot. Like they didn't really have an incentive system. They had a punishment system.
Yeah.
I mean, in all fairness,
their incentive was getting punished less.
Well, it was like,
not even like that.
You know, if you die, like, we're gonna make it really hard for you to level. Now, there's no gear. There's very few quests. There's a limited number of storylines. The only commodity we have to give to you, the only reward system there is your next set of interesting, cool, fun powers that help define your weird character as a guy.
Right.
So when you mess up, we're going to make it harder for you to get that one thing, the only thing that you actually want. You know? And it's like, look what happens when you group. Like, you know, Douche McNutsack over here decides to like pull the entire room and everybody dies. Welcome to half a level of XP death.
Douche so like McNutsack.
So like fuck leveling. You know? Whatever. I don't mean to go off into that.
If we were in a thread, that would be a C.
Yeah, right.
Right there.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to go too far in that direction. It's on my mind a lot because I'm playing the Death Knight a lot, which I can't recommend enough. I'm just saying, unholy build. Rules the fucking world. Like, it's totally awesome.
One more letter from Christopher Ross emailed us. Long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Hooray!
Yes! Love that.
Especially the long-time listener part. That's good.
Yeah, he used to listen back when Phil was doing the show.
Oh, wow.
Back a long time ago.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth.
And he continued listening. He listens. He says, I listen to a whole lot of podcasts, but yours is one of the few video game-centric ones that I've remained subscribed to, so...
Well,
thank
that's
you,
awesome.
Chris.
Thanks for telling us. Thanks always for the feedback.
I don't know how you all find the time to play so many games, but it certainly allows me to stay up on what's out there and choose only what I think I will really like. That's, you know, you and I have discussed this as well. It's we keep our Gamefly queues full. And
it's
we
actually,
play as much
you know,
as we can of what we
it's
play.
It's actually not that easy to play.
No,
I want to say, you know, it's a tough job. It's rough, man. I play a lot of games, and that's real bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how I do it.
It is really bad.
It's
but I mean, sometimes it's like
a full-time job. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because
really
there are some days when you're like, I really want to go, like, I want to play this. So, you know, I want to play this. And it's like, I don't like that very much. But it's like, I really got to play that because, like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, I don't really like it. But
we know the next show's coming up, and we're like, well, we...
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I definitely do have those moments where I'm like, oh, I gotta play that before the
show. Now, I can tell you this. Yeah. Most of the year, we don't really have a problem, but...
This time of year, it is
this
really
This time
bad.
Of year is tough.
Yeah, it's a little
it's
tough.
It's really tough.
But yeah, trying to make time for all the other stuff and still, like... I mean, because it's real easy. If we just got together 3 times a week and we're like, whatever we did, and we'll just talk about it. It's like, sometimes that's fun, sometimes it's not. But if you really, like, you know, succeed or fail, if you're actually just trying to, like, have topical, like, and that's the problem, is, like, what's happening right now? You're trying to stay on top of that with a group of people. It's fucking impossible, because there's, like, people what got kids and guys with wives and stuff, and Scott sleeps all the time.
Well, see, his next sentence is like, hey, don't feel bad when you periodically talk about games that came out a while ago. He likes those conversations. It might be interesting if we all choose an older game to talk about every once in a while, a week or two. Which, of course, you have the FUDcast that's doing that. They pick a game and play all the way through it, and then they have a roundtable about it. So, but yeah, every now and then we'll go off topic on something completely. You two, Jeremy and James, you guys will pick games.
Yeah, wait until spring. There'll be plenty of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be back.
So, yeah, if you want to
be all the stuff that I missed from fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's that, too. If you want to get in touch with us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. And we've gone over...
sorry, it's
long.
I didn't realize I was so aggravated about my Xbox. Don't get pissed off.
Hey,
I love the NXT. It's fine.
I didn't
bet
it either until now.
Well, I'm just saying.
Let's not start again.
Yeah, you know, whatever. We just want to say we're sorry it was long.
I just want to fix.
That's okay.
We'll see you on Monday.